Life was so simple because we didn't, we were involved mainly with the church. I had the Sunday school, I got the Sunday school lessons ready, and David was involved with the young people. So that kept us busy. And he, first of all, he went around to the different families and said, would you young people be interested in getting together on Friday night for young people's? Well, the one home he drove up to was the Ockers, and these people are, they're country people, you know, and they're not very outgoing, I guess, sort of shy, but anyway, this one young man, he hid behind the tree when David came, and he didn't want to see. And he talked to Dick's mother and said, would he be interested? Well, he was a teenager, but he was still very shy. And his sister, Mary, was a little more outgoing, so she said she'd be interested. So we started Friday nights with the young people, and that went very well. And gradually, the church began to grow. There were people that came from different parts of the country that moved there. Some from Atlanta, Georgia, New York. And so the church was growing, so we had to build, add on to the church. And so we would all work together. The men at the church would work at it, building this church. Of course, we had others that were professional contractors as well. But we all pitched in, and then at night we would take supper up there so that we could all have supper together. And then the kids would be there riding their bikes around the hill, you know, outside. And it was a lovely fellowship we had together. So as the church filled, it grew, and it was growing. I should tell you all that after a year of being in the church basement before we started building, I became pregnant with our first son, Mark, and so we moved to a home in town. And David took a job as for the bread company, Henry's Bakery, and delivered bread on a truck. And this was just not an ordinary truck route. It was over the mountains of Pennsylvania into the little towns around. So it was quite a ways to go. And he had some wonderful experiences while doing this bread delivery. He said one time he heard angels singing. He heard this music, and he said it was so beautiful. It was music he had never heard, nothing you could put even on the keyboard. But he said he was so broken, and he just had to pull the truck over to the side of the road until, you know, it finished. But it was a wonderful experience for him. And so then I was expecting again our second son, Stephen. Well, we had to move again. And we moved to an apartment, Gromar Apartments. Mr. Henry, who owned the bakery, David approached him and said, we need a place to live. If you have an apartment available, we'd really be interested. So it wasn't too much longer. Mr. Henry came to him and said, I have an apartment for you if you'd like to have it. So it worked out. It was much bigger than what we had before. It was nice, spacious rooms, two bedrooms, and nice area. Well, then, as the people were, I was saying how people were growing, the church was growing, people were coming. Some of the families that came, they needed places to live, so we arranged with Mr. Henry to get them apartments there at Gromar Apartments. So we had church people in the apartments, and So we had quite a time, you know, with the fellowship of folks living together and then at the church. And it was a blessing. And then as the church grew and they added on to the church, some of the families felt they'd have outgrown the apartments, and they began to build houses on the church, on the land up there, on the farm. They bought pieces of land and built houses up there. And the trouble was with, David wanted us to build up there too, but we had no money. And so he went to the bank and spoke to the bank president, Mr. Hockersmith. Mr. Hockersmith, he was a relative of where we had lived previously, where we had rented previously, so he knew who we were. And he said, David asked about the money, and he said, well, I don't know, I'll have to take this to the board, and we'll have to think about this, because we didn't even have a down payment. So we got a phone call a couple of days later, and Mr. Hockersmith said, well, you put the whammy on the board, the money's yours. So that was incredible, just incredible. Our interest rate was high, but at least we could make the payments. But it was quite an experience building this home. It was a lovely home, and it enabled us to entertain people. You know, when the people came for conferences, we could have them in our home and share the fellowship. And just, it was good. It was a good time. But poor David, he was working two jobs. He was working Coca-Cola in the morning, making deliveries. He would come home and sleep for a few hours and then go to work at AMP as a night store manager until morning. Well, he worked so long and hard, I was afraid he was going to ruin his health, so I applied for a job. By this time, the boys were in school, so that they were cared for in the daytime, and their dad was home by the time they got home from school. One day, we noticed our son, Stephen, was limping, and we thought, well, what's going on here? So we just wondered. We had to take him to the doctor to see what's causing this limp. And the doctor checked him out, and they said, it's leg Perthes disease. Well, we had never heard of such a thing. But it is the femur bone, the top of the femur, becomes soft, and then it will, if it's not, it has to be round. If it doesn't stay rounded, then it will become flat, and then the person would limp for the rest of his or her life. So this was quite a new experience for us. So we took him to the doctor that would take care of his leg, and they said, well, they put him in a cast for a few weeks. Now, this cast was, they put the leg out to the side like that so that it positions the femur properly, and then there'd be a bar in between both legs so that it would stay out like that. Well, he had to have that on, and then to get around, he would lay on the floor and just pull himself with his arms. And we thought, my goodness, how is this going to go? Eventually, they said he would wear a brace. And that would be for at least 3 or 4 years. Now, Stephen was a very athletic young boy. He just involved sports, and it just would not have been good for him to, just have to be tied down like that. So we got a call one day from my cousin in Canada. He said, "I was just at a hockey game, and I heard some people beside me talking about Leigh Perthes disease, and his child had it and was being operated on for this. And so I guess," this is my cousin Billy, "I guess Billy had listened and asked him about it, inquired, and about this operation and the doctor. So he felt, got the details, gave it to my parents, my family, and they took the information and they contacted this doctor and arranged an appointment for Stephen. Well, we took Stephen down there and he looked at him and felt that he could help him. So this meant Stephen had to leave home for several months and be up there in Canada, here in Canada. It was the sick kids hospital. And we were quite surprised that the Americans were behind the Canadians, because the American doctor didn't have that information. And so he was operated on. And what they do is tilt the pelvic bone, the hip bone, and the femur so that it will be rounded and he could walk. And he came through it beautifully. The Lord was so good. And I just was amazed, how well it went and how the Lord took care of him. And of course, there were many people praying for him. People from the church came in and prayed with him, and just it was tremendous. So soon he was able to come. Oh, also my sister, she said, "Get his school books, bring them here, and I'll help him." So I talked to his teacher, got his school books, brought them home up to my sister, and when we were visiting, and she tutored Stephen while he was there, went through his math and all his subjects, so that when he returned home, he was able to pass and able to go on to the next grade. So it was just tremendous. The support of the family was really appreciated. And so we're thankful for God's leading in that. As the boys grew up, they both became involved in basketball and wrestling. They really loved, they both won tournaments too. They did well. Well, while we were at Shippensburg, things started to, I guess, disintegrate. The fellowship wasn't the same. Things started to fall apart. And we just felt it was time to leave, that we shouldn't be here, we should move on. Well, Brother Valori, Sergio Valori, this is Bert's uncle. We had known him from Toronto, and he invited us to come to his church. Well, Reading was a 2-hour drive for us to make, so we had to do this drive every Sunday. Well, actually, the Valoris were very gracious to us. They invited us to stay Saturday nights and then be there for Sunday morning. So we had a wonderful fellowship with them and stayed there for several years as in fellowship with them and their church. And finally, we stopped going there and came back home because there's people, other people at the church in Shippensburg who were leaving, so we gathered together to meet in the homes. Well, then Coca-Cola was not very happy with David because he was only working mornings and then going to A&P, so they wanted him to take on more hours, more duties, but he said no, he couldn't do that. And so he just was stuck with A&P as the one job. But I was fortunate in that I had changed jobs, got a better job, making more money, and so that helped. Well, then we had another surprise. It was our son Philip arrived. We hadn't planned this, but Stephen and Mark were humiliated that their 40-year-old mother was having another baby, but the Lord works these things out. But they were very loving, and it worked out. Aunt Bertha came and stayed with me because I was still working, so I could work, and she would help look after Philip while I was at work. And so it was quite a time. But as